This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. After New York and Miami, Boston has the third largest concentration of Haitian immigrants in the U.S. Between 50 and 100,000 Haitians live here in close-knit communities, predominantly in and around Mattapan. And while it's not always spoken about openly, many Haitian immigrants continue to practice voodoo. Voodoo is a religion that developed when Roman Catholic and West African religious beliefs blended after slaves were brought to Haiti in the 16th century. Author and journalist Calvin Hennick has spent much of the last year studying Boston's Haitian voodoo community for a novel he's writing, and he's with me in the studio. Hi, Calvin.
Hi.
First of all, how did you get into studying voodoo?
Well, I'm in the graduate program for creative writing at UMass Boston, and my wife is Haitian, so I knew that I wanted to write about Haiti in some way. My wife and her family don't practice voodoo, but I didn't feel like I could write about the country and the culture and ignore what is one of its most interesting aspects.
So you felt like you had to go and see some of it, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I've been reading a lot of books, but that doesn't compare to actually going to some ceremonies and staying up until, you know, 8 in the morning while spirits come and possess people.
Because these are overnight ceremonies.
They are.
So this past Saturday was the Day of the Dead holiday in Haitian voodoo, and you were allowed into a house in Mattapan to document an all-night celebration called Fête Gede. What is that?
Yeah, a fête is basically a feast or a party or a ceremony that's held several times a year. The house that I was in is run by Amambo, and Amambo is a Haitian voodoo priestess. Her name is Marie Maud Evans, and she's been really welcoming to me. She's let me come a couple of times to different parties they've had there. The Gede are the spirits of the dead. There are different classes of spirits in voodoo, and the Gede are the dead. So every November, there's always a big party for them.
This was a regular-looking house in Mattapan, just a residential home somewhere in the city, in the neighborhood.
I mean, it's just a regular house, most days a year. But the basement is decorated to look like a peristyle, which is a voodoo temple. So the center structural beam in the basement is wrapped in cloth and painted, and that's the Potomi Ton, which is the center pole that the spirits are said to travel into the temple through.
So you went to this event last weekend?
Yeah, I went on Saturday night.
And you talked to this Haitian voodoo priestess?
Yeah, I did. I talked to Mambo Marie Maud Evans as she was getting ready cooking.
You know, it's the first year after the earthquake, and we want to celebrate the dead really big this year. It's a way to just acknowledge that we've lost so many. So we just want to represent the dead. Kind of, we made a coffin. We made, a govi packet and many bottles. So we want to make it special.
So she said, what, govi packets? What is she talking about?
Yeah, there's a lot of regalia and paraphernalia associated with voodoo. It's very decorative. The altars are very elaborate. She was talking about a govi, which is basically a clay pot. Those in voodoo are said to contain different spirits, and this was the spirit of Gede, and this govi was decorated in purple to match his colors. His colors are purple and black. She also, as I was talking to her, was preparing a paquette, which basically is this decorative item that has a wider base and sort of a big plumy flower coming out the top wrapped in ribbon.
So there's a lot of ritual in voodoo, much like Catholicism, but in a different way.
Yeah, one thing someone has told me who's a member of Maud's house is that it's a religion that's concerned with right practice rather than right belief. So it's about
right practice, correct practice.
Correct practice, yes.
So is this how Fête Gede would be celebrated in Haiti, or is it done differently up here?
They try to make things as similar as they can. In Haiti, they have more space. People are more used to what they're doing, so that, you know, they don't have to worry as much about someone calling the cops about the drums if those are too loud or something like that. And Maud talked to me a little bit about the difference in animal sacrifice between Haiti and here.
Animal sacrifice, it's not really allowed, but we do it, but not in a big scale. We just do chicken.
In Haiti, you would do a whole goat?
A goat or like a cow, yeah. But in order for me to give the goat to the Gede spirit, I had to go to the farm and ask them to just do it for me. I could not take it home and bless it and do it.
Did you do a chicken for Gede?
I did a pair of chicken for Gede.
How does that work? Is it okay?
It went well.
So they can't sacrifice goats, but they do sacrifice chickens.
Yeah, they do. And I mean, it sounds shocking to some people, but I would find it extremely hypocritical if I had a problem with it because I eat a lot of meat. And to me, there's not a huge difference between, you know, she said that the goat was slaughtered on the farm. I don't necessarily see the difference between that and the chicken being killed in the basement.
Do they then eat the chicken?
They do. Usually what happens is that each spirit is given its own food offering that's set on the altar, and different spirits have different foods that are associated with them that are their traditional offerings. But then also the whole congregation is fed, basically, at the end of the night. So everybody in this basement, you know, as the party was winding down, got some good fried goat and rice and beans.
As they were heading out, they got to leave
with
food.
Yeah.
Now, you were there, as we just heard, as the women were cooking and setting things up. But the celebration itself, as I understand it, got going late, like around 11 p.m.
Yeah, things usually do in voodoo. Someone's used the phrase voodoo standard time with me just to...
VST.
Yeah, I was told that things were going to get underway at 8 and then 9 and then 10 and then they got underway at 11. But I'm really used to that. I've been to about a dozen ceremonies and none have started sooner than 3 hours late.
So they literally go through the night.
Yeah, this one went until about 8 a.m.
So what was the scene like down there overnight?
At around 11 o'clock, things really got going. Maud came down and started shaking the asong, which is voodoo's sacred rattle, has a net of beads and a bell attached to the end. And the drummers started going. They started singing songs and saluting the spirits in order.
Now, we were mostly hearing drums, but I also hear people singing in the background, as you said.
Yeah, and we got a little bit better audio of that, too.
Now, they're singing what, Creole?
Yeah, the songs are mostly in Creole. Some are in French, and some are in langage, which is sort of untranslatable words that were passed down from African slaves.
And can you translate, and do you know what they're singing?
I can't translate, really. I speak, you know, just a little bit of Creole. But it depends on which spirit they're saluting. So Gene is a sort of raunchy, lewd spirit. He's the spirit of the dead, but he's also the spirit of life, and along with that comes sex. So he's got a lot of phallic imagery surrounding his personality, and his songs are sort of things that I couldn't say on the radio.
And is there dancing? It sounds like there might have been dancing or at least some kind of movement going along with that.
Yeah, there's always dancing. Bagede in particular is famous for his dance, which is called the banda. And I talked to Matthew Deos, a white initiate in the house, who was describing it.
It's a very low to the ground. Ankles are widespread and the pelvis is grinding a lot.
All right, so that person does not sound Haitian.
No, Maud has a pretty open house. The way she puts it is that the spirits choose who they choose, and if they want someone to serve them, then it's not her place to turn somebody away.
So you just said the spirits choose who they choose. That leads us to the fact that apparently people become possessed by spirits when they're there.
They do. At this party, there were somewhere between 6 and 8 possessions, and I sort of tried to describe one while it was happening in the recording. A guest of the house, a white woman named Mary, started to dance sort of erratically with her eyes rolled back in her head, and people began to attend to her because they think the possession may be beginning to seep. Right now they're calling Dambala, and Dambala appears to be possessing Mary, so they are covering her up with a white sheet and shaking the asan, the sacred rattle around her. Mary has fallen to the floor, and she's being covered with a white sheet. This is the first possession of the night, a little before 12:30.
Now, did it look to you like people were really being possessed, however you define that?
I mean, I'm not a theologian, I'm not a scholar, I'm not a scientist, so all I can tell you is what I witness as a writer, and I see people having a real experience, whatever that experience is. So a lot of times possessions are associated with someone will seem really off balance and being tossed about. Sometimes people will be crying, sometimes they'll be shaking. It's definitely an emotional and physical experience.
Some kind of rapture, you might say.
Yeah, I talked to Mambo Maud, who runs the house, and she told me a little bit about what it feels like.
There's a fight first when the spirit wants to come. And you feel the spirits coming, so you try to fight it. Because maybe, I don't know why, but for me, that's what I do. I try to fight it, and then until I can't do anything, it's not in my hands anymore.
Now, Calvin, we're of course talking about the special holiday celebration, Day of the Dead. But what is it like for these people to practice voodoo on a daily basis, not necessarily a big holiday?
It's really like any other religion. A lot of people have altars in their homes. Sometimes they're in their bedroom or in a basement, usually covered because the spirits aren't supposed to see you naked, that sort of thing. But they'll light a candle and pour out some offerings for the spirits. And it's not really called praying. It's called serving the spirit. So you'll ask the spirit to help you out. Depends on the spirit. Ogu is going to help protect you. Dambala is going to bring wisdom. Isili Freda, beauty. But I talked to another Mambo in the house, a priestess, Marilene Bernard, and she told me a little bit about what Gede does in her life.
Oh, he do so many things for me. He do the good thing, protect me. After God, I talk to him. If I say, protect me, I'm going to work. Protect me and my job. And protect my kids. Protect my house. Protect my family.
After God, she said?
Yeah, a lot of people practice voodoo alongside Christianity. It developed alongside Catholicism, French Catholicism, in Haiti when Haitians were slaves, and they had to mask their African beliefs by syncretizing it with what the French believed, and a lot of people to this day do both.
Calvin, I mentioned when I introduced you that you're researching all of this for a novel, not a piece of nonfiction, but a novel. So what are you writing about?
Yeah, the piece started sort of as an imagination. Again, I mentioned my wife is Haitian, and I thought, well, what if she had been back in Haiti during the earthquake and I couldn't reach her and I had to go back with her family to find her? And then I decided that my mother-in-law practices voodoo, and that's how we sort of try to find her, which my mother-in-law is not that happy about.
So your in-laws are not voodoo practitioners?
No. After I got back from the party, my in-laws didn't know I had been there, and I told them, and they said, well, you didn't eat anything, did you?
Didn't eat anything?
They thought maybe magic had been done to the food, and I said it was fine.
So do mainstream Haitians, if that's fair to say, not look kindly on voodoo? Is this a fringe religion in Haiti?
It's definitely not fringe. Depending on who you ask, somewhere between half and all of Haitians practice voodoo in some form. It's often said that Haiti is 80% Catholic, 20% Protestant, and 100% voodoo. So even though my in-laws don't practice, they definitely believe in the power of the religion.
Your in-laws live in Boston?
They do. They're in Somerville.
Do we know how many Haitians in the Boston area practice voodoo?
It's really tough to say. I talked to Marilene and talked to a few other people at the house, and they said it was sort of uncountable because so many people practice underground.
So even if it's somewhat common, it sounds like there are Haitians who look poorly on it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, people are well aware of voodoo's image in the past, and as a result, they're not always that ready to share their experiences with everyone else.
Calvin Hennick, thanks for coming in, and thanks for spending all night at that ceremony. I think it gives people a glimpse into something that we rarely get to look at.
Thanks a lot, Sasha.
To see photos from Calvin Hennick's experience at a Haitian voodoo ceremony in Mattapan this past weekend, check out wbur.org/Boston. Stay with us. Coming up next, we talk with Congressman Ed Markey about cargo safety in the wake of the latest package bomb threat from Yemen. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston. Hello.